Let me start out by, how did you come up with the name of your show, Dead Tribe Paranormal?
Oh, easy. I got this one. Dan and I had been involved with a paranormal group a few years back, and I kind of backed out probably about a year ago because I had so many, and you'll get it after this, so many spirits following me home and following me around. So many different things were happening. So him and I kind of brainstormed. He came up with a podcast idea, and we were trying to come up with a name. And he said, well, you got a tribe of spirits following you around, and they're dead. So there you go.
There you go.
Welcome to the Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast with hosts John Trina and Kelly Gilbert. Produced by Dan Gilbert. This is EchoPod Media.
About 30 seconds.
All righty.
Let's explore the supernatural with your host, Chas Stamball.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Chas Stamball, your host of the Paranormal Roundtable. Hey, everybody. Yes, I know. I've been missing for the last couple of weeks. I've been busy and had one guest cancel on me, so we're trying to get back on the air and get this thing rolling. So hope everybody's doing great tonight. First thing I want to say is my team, 11th Hour Paranormal, we just did our third annual fundraiser for a Dale Carnegie Museum in Hanford, California, and that went over really well and everything. And if there's any listeners out there that are from the Bay Area, I will be in the Walnut Grove area for the Napa City Ghost and Legends Walking Tour, the Haunted Ride Hotel Overnight Investigation and Seance. I will be there the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And the 14th, I will actually be doing a book signing of my newest book that just came out, Beyond the Veil. So if you're in the area and you want to come by and get my book and have me sign it for you, then come on by. I'll be there between 12 and 4. And if you can get the tickets, maybe you can actually get in on the investigation that night of the Ride Hotel event itself. Okay, so that's where I'll be next month, and hopefully I'll get to see some of you guys there. Now, tonight, I have not one, not two, but three special guests. And they actually have their own show. It is called the Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast.
Before we go any further, let me interrupt to tell you that we are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio now. So please go there, search Dead Tribe Paranormal, then subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Thanks. Now back to the show.
And so the two co-hosts are Kelly Gilbert and Dan Gilman, if I have it right. And then their producer is John.
Oh, you had it backwards, Chad.
I had it backwards. Yeah. Oh, man.
So close.
Yeah, one still out close. Still bad. Close.
I was almost there.
Before you hack my name, I know it's not easy. It's John Shrena.
Shrena. Okay, there you go. So welcome to the show tonight, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
How are you?
Great.
Good. I'm excited to have you guys on.
Thank you. So excited to be on.
Great. So let me start out by, how did you come up with the name of your show, Dead Tribe Paranormal?
Oh, easy. I got this one. Dan and I had been involved with a paranormal group a few years back, and I kind of backed out probably about a year ago because I had so many, and you'll get it after this, so many spirits following me home and following me around. So many different things were happening. So him and I kind of brainstormed. He came up with a podcast idea, and we were trying to come up with a name. And he said, well, you got a tribe of spirits following you around, and they're dead. So there you go.
There you go.
It was going to be Ectopod, but we changed it to Dead Tribe.
Yeah, that sounds better. I don't think the Ectopod would have went over too well. It doesn't have a ring to it.
Not like Dead Tribe. But yeah, that's a story.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it, right?
That's it.
Okay, so what caused you guys, and I was asked this question at the beginning, what caused you guys to get into the paranormal? I mean, everybody has a story.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so for me, I just always thought ghosts existed anyway, just the typical as a kid, you know, had things happening around the house. I remember, you know, I'd go to bed at night, and me and my brother shared a room at the time, and there would just be footsteps just tracing our beds. It would walk around mine and then his and back and forth all night. I remember thinking I heard a fight in my parents' room one night when nobody else was there, things like that. And for me, I knew that paranormal parapsychologists exist. You know, you don't hear that word as much lately, but you know, like that movie Poltergeist, maybe that's where I heard it because I know they had the parapsychologists there. So for me, I wanted that to be my career. I just thought, okay, ghosts exist and everyone knows that. There's no debate about that, right? Everybody has these experiences and mm-hmm. what a great career that would be. and it's not a career, more of a hobby, of course. So years later now, you know, in my 30s, I was lucky enough to stumble upon a paranormal investigating group called Goners, and they were looking for a couple people to be kind of part-time investigators, and I found them and I met with the founder and he liked me, and so I've been doing it for about 3 years now.
Okay. And so the Goners, that's the Ghost of New England Research Society, correct?
Yep, that's what it is.
Okay. And I guess, John, you're part of the group as a part-time member or something?
You know what? I guess part-time. You could call it part-time. I don't make it out as much, maybe once a year, if that. I have two small kids to tend to. I grew up in a haunted house, and my first experience was around 11 years old, laying in a waterbed. So here I am dating myself. I'm laying, it was after school, I had taken a nap, and the guy had committed suicide in the house, so we knew something was there, we would see things, and it felt like somebody kneeled onto the bed, and I started to lean back, and I got real, real cold, and I was just like praying to myself, and then finally it went away, and that's kind of where I got started. I've always had an interest in it after that. Why are they here? Why don't they move on? That type of thing. So right. I got married. I started watching the TV shows like everybody else. I wasn't allowed by the wife to do any type of investigating at the time. So after my divorce, yeah, where's the sound effect? divorced 6 years ago, right away I got into it. I hooked on with a group out of Connecticut here, moved on to another group. I was taking a little bit from each group and I decided to start my own. Started my own with a few friends. After a few years, we grew apart, and after noticing things following me home from different investigations, things happening in the house, my children seeing things, I decided to kind of back off. And I was talking to Dan one day, and he came up with the podcast idea, and that's where we are now.
Right. And what about you, Dan?
Mine's kind of lame. I just got into it because I liked the Ghost Hunter shows. I liked Ghost Adventures, and I was like, wow, okay, I want to do this. So,
okay, cool. So now how many investigations you guys think you've all done?
Combined?
Yeah, combined.
Oh, boy.
I've probably done around a dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Now, actual investigations or been out to haunted locations?
Oh, you can add them both.
Yeah, if we were going to do that, I'd probably say close to 100.
Okay.
I had a sick obsession for a little while.
Trust me, I've been there, done that.
You know, I think even now you'll see little kids, they all think it's a joke, but I'm here to tell you it's no joke. When they want to sneak into these insane asylums and come out if you're here. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have no idea what they're getting involved in.
Absolutely not.
So, now how is your radio show going? Is it more like, are you guys trying to do like an educational show, or how's it work?
It's similar to yours. I've listened to a couple of your episodes. You know, we just interview anyone from, you know, other investigators, other, you know, podcasters, radio hosts, authors, and then, you know, just any individual who's had experiences or lived in haunted houses. It's all mostly like ghost and ghost hunting specifically.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, just all kinds. And we have people on, you know, all three of us are here. Me and John do most of the talking, the co-hosting. And they'll be anywhere from half hour to an hour. We've had some really interesting people. I mean, so a lot of them are really hovering around the hour mark.
And we like to do it up a little with the production. I like to add music and sound effects, try to keep it interesting.
Okay, that's cool. I don't think I've ever done either my podcast or this show with any sound effects.
I like it. He does good. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Kelly, one of the things I wanted to ask you, reading your bio, you said that you're more skeptical than anything else. And you say you've learned different things about light waves and sound waves and how a shadow person is caught on cameras can actually be something else. So can you explain to my listeners exactly what you learned and, you know, explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to things existing, you know, I pretty much 99% believe in ghosts and everything because of my own experiences. But just out on investigations, I think it's so easy to think you've caught something when you haven't. And then it's kind of embarrassing if you put it up and you're really, really wrong. So, you know, a lot of times with the shadow, you know, I know we had one once in a room. It was like stone walls, and it looked like we had caught a shadow figure, you know, because that's what your eyes want to see. I mean, you could make out like a head and arms and legs.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And what it really was, I mean, I'm far from like the expert. I mean, this is all just like my amateur learning, but there was already some dark and lightness on the walls anyway. And it, if you look at certain pictures, you know, we had like maybe 10 of the area and our flash was hitting the wall in different areas. So, you know, in one picture you could say, oh my God, you know, this looks like a person and it wasn't here in the picture before, you know, and that's when the light's hitting the top of the wall. And when it was even just like 6 inches lower, you know, be just as easy to say like, oh, I caught the ghost of a triangle, you know, like in another picture,
right, a triangle
is blacking out. So, I mean, just really paying attention to exactly where light is hitting is a really big one, I think, with a lot of these shadow pictures or human-ish pictures. And as far as sound goes, things can come out so much different on tape than you're actually hearing it. And I really noticed this once. I was listening to audio of an investigation we did, and it was a person's house, but they were moving soon. So it was already a lot emptier than a typical house anyway. So, you know, a lot more echoes, a lot more things, you know, just for echoing and sound. And I really thought I was catching some voices. It really sounded like whispers, and sometimes it even sounded like whole sentences. I couldn't make out words, but it would even be like, psh, 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 psh. And like, whoa, that's, I think we really caught something.
Right.
You know? So then I was listening to somebody else's audio recorder around, you know how like usually you go in a few people at once and you're all recording and whatever.
Right,
so
right.
I was listening to his and I heard him say at that same time in the room he was in, oh, there's that pipe banging again. So, you know, this pipe banging in like the kitchen wall probably came across through the bedroom on my recorder, what sounded like a conversation. So, I mean, that's so easy to mistake. And I could have really stood the ground and been like, nope, nope, that's talking. But no way. I mean, it's just way too coincidental. This guy hears pipes banging in, you know, four rooms away. It sounds like whispering, like debunked. And it's just really interesting how easy to mistake things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, so you guys do do historical sites and you do private investigations like homes and everything also?
Yeah, we do homes. Homes have always been my favorite just because even though, you know, I've had paranormal experiences at my jobs and sometimes out in public, you know, houses, living in haunted houses is what really scares me. So I really like haunted houses, but we do businesses. We've done a machine shop. And yeah, we got this great deal with a Connecticut Landmark Society that we're going into about a dozen historical homes in Connecticut. And it's really great because we've combined this. So we've done our Dead Tribe Paranormal podcast. We've come along and did like a double. So it was like, for me, it was an investigation and a podcast all in one.
Excellent.
So yeah, it works out great. And we've done, so we've done the Nathan Hale home, the Butler McCook home in Hartford, Connecticut. Nathan Hale's up in Coventry.
Yeah.
There's one called the Hampstead House in New London, Connecticut.
Yep.
That one I actually didn't know existed. So yeah, it's really great. It's a good deal to have. We go check. Some of them out of all the ones we've done, I think some aren't even haunted at all.
Right.
Just because it's old doesn't mean the ghosts are still there.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
well, that actually brings up my next question, not to cut you off or anything. Yeah. So if you're dealing with clients and you know that you can debunk what the client's saying, how did you educate your clients on your findings and make sure that they, you know, see that it's, you know, what you're saying is real, you know, that it's not paranormal?
Right.
Well, I think if you break it down, I mean, the banging could be, it happens at a certain time of day. I mean, it could be a tree banging against the house. I mean, break it down and explain it to them. But I think in a lot of cases with us, when we were doing it and when we did come across things, they were more interested in not, they knew it was there, we knew it was there, whether it was going to hurt them or not. It wasn't about...
And that's a big thing. Whether it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, and it wasn't always about debunking. Like, everybody goes in and say, "Oh, I'm gonna debunk all this." Well, a lot of times it is there, but 99% of the time that I've come across, it hasn't been, you know, what you see on TV where bricks are being thrown at, the Ghost Adventure guys, or, you know, it's nothing like that. It's just a spirit that's living in the house, you know, and he's not gonna hurt anybody.
Right. Usually they're there for, you know.
Yeah, it's like residual haunting, I would say. Probably 99% of the time, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just answered one of my questions down the line. Do you run into, you feel you run into more residual than actually intelligent haunts?
Well, I would say that's probably the most popular one. I mean, over a demon, a demonic haunting, or there is the intelligent ones too. I also found that you would get with the intelligent ones, they're like passerbys, you know, they'll come by and answer a question and then they're gone.
Right.
But yeah, I would say residual with probably 80% of the time we went out. I would say that's probably about it.
Yeah. Okay. Mine has probably been about 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's, you know, they're just hearing the same thing or seeing the same thing. But I mean, we definitely caught enough, you know, what seems like an answer to a question we're asking or a knocking, you know, all the typical stuff. Hey, can you knock on this? Or
exactly,
you
exactly.
know.
Now I got a question in the chat room. They want to know, how do you define haunted? Does that just mean there are ghosts, or does it mean something else?
I think haunted could be something else, but mostly ghost. I personally think it's when more of an intelligent thing. So when a spirit, whether it's a stranger or a former family member or something like that, like, they are intelligent, they're doing things to get your attention, they're showing you that they're there, you know, or something else. I mean, maybe, I'm not saying like demon, but maybe something non-human, you know. But yeah, I think haunting is like they're actively like doing something, trying to scare you, you know. I've come across things where I've thought I've... Oh, that was like a glitch. Did you hear that weird sound or no?
Did you hear that, Chad?
Yeah, I heard something, but I wasn't sure what it was.
Well, just to let you know ahead of time, we do get a lot of EVPs off of doing this podcast in my house.
Oh, so your house must be active itself, huh?
I told you that.
So his might actually be haunted. So,
so there's your haunting.
My house used to be haunted too, but the stuff that we do now, we actually cleanse our house once a week because we got to keep that stuff away from, because we get into the heavier stuff, my team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to have like a sanctuary.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I don't think, nothing's bad. It's here, but it is what it is. And and it doesn't bother my kids anymore. So,
well, I mean, that's a lot of times, you know, exactly. We deal a lot with our private clients also, and that's a lot of times what happens is the spirit doesn't want to go, and, you know, the homeowner is fine with why they're there. They just wanted to make sure that, you know, something was actually there. And so they kind of come into an agreement that, you know, they can cohabitate, you know, but they do set boundaries, you know, what mm-hmm. that spirit entity can do, you know, when they're, you know, while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it does work, and then, you know, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. What do you do to cleanse your house? Do you do, like, the sage or something else?
Oh, we do more than just sage. We use all kinds of things. We use, depending on the intensity of the entity, we'll use copal, we'll use sage, we'll use a bunch of other stuff, plus holy water and a bunch of different rituals. It also depends on the homeowner's religious background on different types of rituals we'll use.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love learning about different religions.
Yes.
Their beliefs, their system, and all of that.
So speaking of that, do you guys do any other type of training to make yourself and your team's better investigators?
Are you talking about Kelly's team, or are you talking about our podcast?
Well, you guys, your podcast, or you guys just in general, do you do anything, you know, try to learn more about the, you know, the paranormal to make yourselves better in...
Oh, with knowledge?
Yeah, knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, besides we're all good friends and we get along and... I would say probably Kelly does the most. She does the research and all that stuff. But we do. We talk. We have the group messaging back and forth all day, every day, all mm-hmm. night. But yeah, we talk a lot. We meet up, and we'll talk about different things and maybe what we learned off of that podcast. We'll improve it for the next one.
Awesome.
Yeah, and
awesome.
For the ghosts, just as many people as we can talk to. I think doing the podcast is a good way. I hate reading. I want to like reading, but I don't.
So. And that's one of the reasons I like my show, too. Because
yeah.
You can interact with your guests, and you can learn other ideas of mm-hmm. how to research and investigate from other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think, like, that's the best way. I mean, I do read, and, you know, internet is... amazing, and you know exactly what you're asking, you know, learning about other religions, learning about different beliefs, different methods of, you know, cleansing, like just asking you, I'm like, oh, what do you do? Because everyone's heard of stage, you know, and then, or sage rather, and you said a couple other things that were, what did you say? You said not the holy
copal,
water.
Copal. Yeah. Copal, lavender, and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, we actually have a giant case that we call Doom Kit that has a whole bunch of different stuff that we can incense and stuff that we can burn. Just like I said, depends on the type of entity that we're trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the most way, you know, learning about that. And there's a few schools out there now and trainings, and I've learned this from, you know, just more and more connections. There's a lot of people that have websites now, and they might even be other podcasters as well, and they're definitely people in ghost hunting groups or paranormal investigators, whichever term you prefer. And they will actually do like trainings online on how to not make certain mistakes and be a better investigator mm-hmm. and all that. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Excellent.
I learned from Ghost Adventures.
Go ahead. Yeah. We're not going to.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Chad.
So I want to get all three of you guys' opinion. I always like to ask my guests this.
Sure.
What is your theory of ghosts, and why do you think they're here?
I have, I guess, a couple different opinions. I think, one, some don't know. I've come across that as well. Some don't know that they've passed away. So they're kind of reliving that time. That's the residual. They're reliving over and over and over and over. Maybe it could have been a tragic death. I also think... some don't want to move on. Maybe they have unfinished business. But again, I don't know this. I'm not a professional. This is just what I think.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's... I prefer when people answer like that anyway. I hate when anyone pretends they're the expert on anything like this. Like, it's so... You know?
It drives me crazy when they say they're an expert. Because
well,
no such
Chad,
thing
let me
expert.
Tell you.
Yeah. Until we're dead, we're not going to know. So... I think it's, you know, all types too. I mean, not to give like a generic answer, but I think for some, I think maybe they just don't know they're around, or maybe it, like, for some reason they're in a dimension, like that movie, The Others, you know, when mm-hmm. they didn't know they were dead. You know, I don't know what that world would be like. I mean, that's so weird. You think you're still living in the house that you've always lived in, and like, you don't know you're dead, but I mean, you hear enough stories where it almost seems that way. With a lot of the experiences I have had on my own, you know, like the person in the chat room was asking about like hauntings, you know, sometimes I don't even really think my homes were haunted or my workplace is haunted. I think I've just somehow, some reason, I'm just able to see things once in a while. You know, like I'll see an apparition walk by and I don't know that it was trying to get my attention. So I think okay. Maybe some are around, yeah, just because they don't know they're gone yet. And I think other ones, they do know. You know, I do believe there's an afterlife, whatever it is. And just because I think I've gotten signs from, you know, dead loved ones, I think some you can come back and visit and, you know, come and go slightly as you please, maybe.
Right.
You know, portals, like, I don't really know what the deal with that. I don't really think there's portals, but I think if you're dead and you want to go check in on, you know, your daughter or something, you can.
I agree with that. I call it the veil. Mm. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. You know, you can go from one to anything, because I feel that, in my opinion, God, when we are in human form that we are right now, we are given that free will to do, you know, whatever, you know, make our own choices and everything. And in my opinion, I feel that when we die, we still have that free will. So even if we do go to heaven or wherever it is that we go, I feel that we still have that free will that we can come back and forth when we feel like.
Yeah. Like if our energy is capable of doing it, then yeah, like why wouldn't it be our choice? I agree.
But yeah. I don't believe that you go wherever you want to go. I believe that you go where you left energy. Because, I mean, ultimately, we're all made up of energy. So you're going to go You're going to go back to what you know. So I don't think you can, like, you know, you pass away and then you go to Six Flags out here. And go on a roller coaster yeah. Because you never did it. Or for me, go to my favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers football game, to watch a game. You know, I think.
Okay, now you got to leave the show now.
Oh, all right. Hey, nice talking to you, Chad.
You still got me and Dan.
Chad, I've got to tell you something. They're on right now, and here I am doing an interview. So.
Oh, no. Well, at least you got something good going. I mean, if you're watching the game, you know, already pulling your hair out because you know they're losing.
But yeah, I do believe that you go. You don't just go back and travel around. I've never been to Paris. I think I'm gonna go to Paris. I think you go, and there's a purpose if you do cross. If you cross over and then you cross back.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. Yeah, you're gonna go back to where you are. Like you said, where your energy was the strongest, you're going to go back to visit your family members and stuff because you have the connection with that.
I agree.
That's the strongest connection.
No. If I die right now, I'm still coming back and like peeping on my favorite celebrities and messing with people I don't like and that have wronged me.
Well, that's like a couple of days ago on social media, I put out a cartoon that said if I was to die, I was going to come back and mess with people with OCD and move things around.
Oh, my God. Yes. Chad, you're cruel.
But it'd be cool. I'd want to be a ghost to the fullest.
So now when you guys do your investigations, are you guys more a science based or spiritually based, or are you kind of like combine the two?
I would say combined. Like in my group on Goners, we do have a psychic. We actually have a couple now. I mean, they don't all come out all the time, you know, and they do their thing, you know, they'll either come on the investigation or before or after. You know, we don't like rely too much on that, though. If something matches up, that's great.
Right.
You know, but we do try to be more scientific. I mean, as scientific as you can, you know, we don't do anything crazy that nobody else has done. You know, we just do the recorders, the K2s, which, you know, we take with a grain of salt. I mean, you know, the K2 is used in electrics, you know, but just like as a, hey, maybe if something happens and the K2 spikes also. But yeah, so we just try to use the different equipment, you know, try to get something to really move. You know, I think that's great. Hey, can you try to move like this really light object and stuff like that? You know, a lot of repeat questions, a lot of the typical questions over and over again, just because, you know, if you're somewhere for 5 hours, just because you ask something at 9 o'clock doesn't mean there's not something now in the building or wherever, you know, at midnight. So, yeah, kind of both, really. More scientific, though. I mean, that's the stuff we'll put out. You know, we're not going to write a big report like, oh, somebody sensed this. And, you know, it's not like big news on our social media.
Okay. Yeah, because I always like to ask that question to see how other people, you know, do their investigations, you know, if they mix it up and stuff. My team, personally, you know, we mix it up with the, you know, the metaphysical and the scientific together, you know.
I think it's a good way. I mean, in whatever you like doing, whatever you trust doing, I know sometimes some people hate the idea of psychics and like, oh, what are you guys even doing at all? And like, I don't know, why not, you know?
Yeah. I think it's in my opinion, the reason that people say that is because they don't know how to use their mediums and a paranormal investigation correctly. I mean, if they were more trained in how to be able to use their mediums in a paranormal scenario, then they would probably be more open to it.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're like handing a medium $20 to come in, then yeah, that would be questionable. But if it's like your friend.
Yeah, you don't want to be handing out money to people. Yeah, cause it doesn't work that way. So when you guys do investigations, how long does it usually take for you guys to review your evidence?
It can take a while. Like at least a few weeks, maybe sometimes up to a month. We, you know, we're all like just busy adults. The youngest person on the team, I mean, there's a 19-year-old that, you know, just started and comes out once in a while. But, yeah, we never say, like, really less than 3 weeks, about a month. A couple of the guys really do they do most of the video work. I like to be around for that, but I'm just often not, you know, so I go over, like, the recorders and stuff like that. So, yeah, about, like, 3 weeks to a month.
Okay, that's good. That's usually about our time frame also.
Yeah. How long was yours and Dan's, John?
Well, I think it depends. It's so hard especially when you have a bigger group, trying to get everybody's schedule. I work in a retail environment, so you can imagine my hours and how hard it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's depending on how you can get everybody together. I mean, when we would go on an investigation and we'd be done, we would usually tell them we'll get back to you within a couple weeks. But we wouldn't lose contact with them. We would contact them, let them know, listen, we're going through some evidence now. Just want to know you. We didn't forget about you, that type of thing.
Right. And that's good to, you know, keep your clients involved, you know, because there's so many teams out there. They just are interested in getting the evidence, and they never get back to their clients.
Honestly, Chad, that's probably another reason why I got out, because it's so watered down with everybody and their brother wants to be a paranormal investigator at one time. And they were just going in for their own evidence and trying to, you know, they didn't really know what they were doing, but trying to get, you know, a spirit to talk to them and say, oh my God, look at it. I got a spirit to talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, and as opposed to trying to take care of the client. So that was another reason why I was, you know, I think 4 or 5 in a 5-mile radius over here, different groups. So.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people don't want to do the hard work. I even have friends that are like, oh, when can I do an investigation with you, and when can I do this? And I'm like, you know, we already have like a pretty big team, and you don't want to go with too many people, because then nobody wants to sit in a van for an hour, you know.
Well, then you start getting contamination at your investigation site.
Exactly. Like I tell them, I'm like, hey, you want to do some investigating, take one of my recorders, you know. I don't want to do that, you know, but like, I just want to go on the hunt with you. And I'm like, okay, great. So you're going to go not help. Thank you.
A lot of people don't realize that, especially if you're doing a lot of the private investigations, this is almost like a second job that you don't get paid.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, and the equipment changes almost like the weather.
You know, constantly changing.
Yeah, yes. Where you're picking up new equipment every month, and you know, between gas and the new equipment and batteries and trying to coordinate everybody together, to me it was like having a wife again.
No.
Now speaking of new equipment, have you guys heard of the new equipment that's coming out from a guy in Italy called the Ghost Arc?
No,
we haven't.
I've seen that on Facebook.
Really? Yeah. No, I don't do a lot of research on the equipment anymore just because we're not as involved. I mean, Kelly might just because she is involved.
Right, right.
No,
so what kind of equipment do you guys use when you're on investigations?
We've done recorders, the K2 meter we have. You know, all like the apps that are coming out, I mean, I know they're apps, but some are pretty decent. Like, we actually use the iPad a lot. There's an app even just for vibrations, you know, so you can leave something on a table. Or, you know, if there's any, if somebody has a claim of, you know, like somebody the other day, you know, we were doing a pre-interview and she was saying, oh, our walls shake at, you know,
right
at like this hour, usually not during the day, at night, you know, so like there's even apps where you can just like leave an iPad or a cell phone on something to pick things up like that. We don't do the ghost box in my group. My feelings are kind of back and forth about it. There's a couple people in the group that really, really are anti-ghost box, though, so we don't do that.
Okay, so you guys are anti-ITC work, huh?
I mean, I'm personally not, but a couple of the people in the group really are, yeah, the ghost box. Okay. And I mean, you can say that about a lot of things, though. Our opinions are very different. There's enough of us that are, I'm a little more open-minded to, like, maybe this and that thing works. You know, one of our members doesn't really like the flashlight trick. And, you know, he'll say that like on talks too, you know, where you kind of loosen the back of a flashlight and
exactly.
Hope they'll do it. I mean, I think it's possible. There's, you know, he's like, oh, there's a whole explanation with electrons and all this. And I'm like, I know, but if you have like three flashlights and, you know, you seem to be getting really answers, I think it's possible.
Yeah. And that's good though, that you all have different interest or, you know, and different thoughts on when you're out investigating, because that way it keeps you all, to me, in my opinion, it keeps you all on your toes, so to say. So, you know, if you're not all doing the same thing, sometimes you can get complacent.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like a game of chess with us. It's like, check, check, wait, nope, yep. Knock that one out, keep this one.
Now, do you guys, to follow right on what we're talking here, do you guys feel that some of us in the field have actually forgotten why we got in the field in the first place?
I do. I think the majority, to be honest, Chad. I think people are doing it because they see it on TV. I'm wondering if they all have the same intention that I had going into it, is to find out more about it and then help people that don't know more about it. Now I think everybody wants to make a dollar. Not everybody, but a lot want to make a dollar. And those are the people I don't want to work with.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm the same type. I mean, I have my radio show. I publish my books. But when it comes to notoriety, that's about as far as, you know, I like to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I try to keep my ego in check when I'm doing this stuff. And there's just so many people out there that they're letting their egos get in the forefront and get in the way of what they were supposed to be doing when they got into the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even believe how bad some people's egos are. It's like a pseudoscience as it is. Like, and you're going to get all arrogant. Like, you're like the end all be all and you're so big and bad and, you know, yeah. You know everything and, you know, and then just like, it's just like in high school, you know, the bigger ego you have, the smaller you need other people to be. And I think just people are knocking each other down way too much too, though.
Yes, definitely. You know, everybody's always talking about the phrase paranormal unity.
Oh, jeez.
I really think that's a dead phrase in this field now.
I agree.
In my opinion, I like to go more with paranormal cooperation, because you're never going to get unity. You're never going to get every single person to come on board philosophically, be on the same board.
Yeah,
you know,
never.
I think the way I used to use that was, you're not going to force me to be friends with somebody that commits fraud, and somebody that's in it for the wrong reason. And I know I didn't make a lot of friends that way, but that's not what I was in it for. I remember when we first got on Facebook, it was like, oh, go like his page so he'll like your page. And you guys, oh, hey, throwing you a like so mm-hmm. you like my page. I mean, it became almost like a game.
Yeah, I don't understand that, you know. I mean, yeah, I belong to a lot of sites and stuff like that, but, you know, there's a lot of good information out there. But just putting up a site and trying to get all kinds of, you know, like you said, likes, that doesn't mean anything.
I agree. Yeah, I think, again, that's for all the wrong reason. And I know people that buy likes and try to get, oh, look at us. We have 50,000 people like our page. That's not what I was in it for. And even to this day, coworkers ask me about the paranormal. Oh, something's going on in my house. And I'm not going to go over there and help them, but I'll find somebody that can help you. You know, I'll answer any questions that I can.
Right.
But I'm not in it for that. I didn't want to get paid. I didn't want the audience, the fan base. Now I like talking about it.
Right. Now we got another question in the chat room from one of my old Marine Corps buddies. Do you think those inflated egos can draw more harmful or stronger entities?
I do, because I think that the ones with the big egos will go in, and if they're not getting the evidence that they want when they go into a building, they start provoking. And I'm sure you have a lot to say about provoking as well, Chad, but I don't think that's when you start to get the spirits that you might not want.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you could have gone in and actually had a peaceful spirit and
made it angry.
In and provoking and made it angry.
You know,
I've seen that happen. I've been to many places and I've actually seen it happen.
Yeah, if somebody came in my house and started calling me a bunch of names, you know, and you better talk to me. I mean, I'd probably get a little bit angry too.
Exactly. That's what I tell people at lectures. You know, I explain it almost just like that. You know, when people ask me about that, you know, I tell them, you know, how would you feel if, you know, if I did that to you? And they would like, well, I wouldn't like it. Well, neither did they.
Yep.
Yeah. Like in life, like being alive, I'm like known as like being this really bubbly, sweet, like really nice person. And, you know, when you do make me mad, when I finally explode, like it's like ended friendships before.
Firecracker.
Yes. Recognize all of it. They do. I mean, people are like, oh my God. Like, and like, yeah, you pushed. And yeah.
Stop it.
So yeah,
she might be
jerk.
Short, but that's have you seen a chihuahua?
Yes. Turned from a chihuahua to a mini pin.
Yeah. So that means that your ankles are all messed up, right, John?
Oh, Jesus. Yes. Yeah.
That's nip, nip.
That's why they're tucked underneath the table, Chad. I don't know if you can see us or not.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
So, now, Kelly,
yep.
Because you're female, do you think that being a woman in this field is harder for you to be taken seriously? Even as a radio show, because you're a female, do you think it's harder for you being taken seriously?
That's a really good question. I never really thought about that, actually. I don't know. I mean, definitely with certain people.
I think you know, that's not the audience that we actually want. So if they come in thinking, oh, geez, another female, what does she know? Then actually, we don't want you to listen anyway.
Right.
I would prefer somebody that came in open-minded. Just like when I was an investigator, that I want to bring on people onto the team that are open-minded, not the people that are closed-minded saying, you know, I don't believe in it, or even the people that come in and say, oh, yeah, there's a ghost everywhere you go. But, yeah, as far as Kelly's probably the best one on the show. She has the most experience.
Yeah.
So to anybody listening out there, if you don't like a female doing a podcast or doing a co-hosting a show, then, you know, tune in somewhere else.
Yeah. Nice. Well, the reason I bring up that is because, you know, I have a lot of female friends in the paranormal field, mm-hmm. and, you know, they do a lot of great work in the field. It's just that there's so many male egos out there
I agree.
They for some reason, they feel threatened because a female is trying to, you know, easiest way to say it, is trying to make a name for herself or trying to, you know, get involved in the field.
Why?
And I just don't understand why, the guys got to always put the females down.
But I think I can explain that, Chad. It's an insecurity. I believe it's a huge insecurity by any male that feels like they need to step on a female to get ahead.
I totally agree.
You know, we're all equal, but I find that mostly it's the insecure guys that are afraid or not confident in themselves that might feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, one place where I would definitely notice it, and this in other scenarios too, not just ghost hunting, but when it comes to a lot of times, if you're doing a talk or even if you're with a client and there's a couple of you, you know, males are like a stronger presence, so people think. So, I mean, I could be, you know, start to answer somebody's question, a client, and, you know, a lot of times, like, I don't even think they realize they're doing it, but they'll look to one of the guys in the group, you know, like, mm-hmm. like, oh, yes, her little girl answer was actually right, or, you know, mm-hmm. no, it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, in that way, definitely. And, I mean, I remember in broadcasting when I did, you know, just regular commercial radio, that was, I mean, I'm not in it anymore. You know, that was definitely hard as a female. It was, you know, it's.
I bet.
Yeah. Very boys club. I mean, not nearly as it was when radio first started. There's a lot of women doing great and I'm still friends with a lot of them. But yeah, it was just very hard to move up the ranks. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is who you know, not what you know. And I'd have the same friends. Yeah. I mean, my God, like you hang out with your coworkers, you know, and I could hang out with you know, all the guys from my station and they want me to go out and they're, you know, oh, come on Saturday night, you know, after this promotion or after your show, come out and you're best friends. And then the second one of them gets a job at another station, I'm going, hey, can you put an award for me? Oh, well, you know, Bill would like be really good on the morning or at night. And, you know, I'm just watching like all the guys helping each other. And I'm like, okay, so like, we hung out, we're crashing at each other's places, like we're the best of friends. Like, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that philosophy either. It's like I said, you know, I have a lot of females in the field and, you know, I support them all. I always encourage them, you know, to go ahead and keep doing what they're doing. But yeah, there's just too many male egos in there that feel that they got to put other people down so that they can stay on top of whatever. It's just
exactly.
Crazy.
Yep. Just that's like teenagers till the end, man.
Yep. So what kind of interesting stories do you guys have on from any of your investigations?
Oh, I think when the most interesting one, we have a guy out here that, and I know we've mentioned this before, it's like beating a dead horse, I guess, but Chad hasn't heard this story, so I'm going to tell it.
well, my listeners haven't heard it either, so.
Yeah, so there's a guy out here, Gary Galka. He actually makes some of the equipment, probably maybe that you use, the SP7. He makes the REM pod. He's probably about 15, 20 minutes from where I live. So I'll bring him up again, but I'll tell you the story. We went to an insane asylum. I think it was you, Dan?
Yeah.
Myself and one of our other investigators, Nick. And, you know, just going in trying to get voices just like everybody else. And we didn't provoke, but we had heard some nasty stories about this. And maybe I'll share a link with you later. You can share with your listeners just to watch this.
It's on iTunes. It's the first episode.
Yeah, there's an EVP that we got in a maintenance building of an old man saying, "Get out!" And then he slams a metal door. And we didn't hear it when it happened. But anyway, we're on the way home, and Dan's on his laptop, and he's playing, and all of a sudden we heard it. And we stopped the car, and we're like, "Are you kidding me?" So long story short, we brought it to Gary, and hearing this from him, he said it was one of the best EVPs he's ever heard. So that's probably my claim to fame.
Yeah. Awesome.
No autographs.
Yet.
Yet.
Once you've hit 100,000 likes.
Sign tomorrow.
Yeah, sign tomorrow.
mine was actually two really cool things happened on one investigation. We were at a location, a private residence. And a lot of times what we'll do in my group is the clients will actually still be there, you know, and they'll be somewhere else for part of the investigation, but we'll bring them in you know, later if they want, which they usually do because they want to watch it like it's a live show or something, you know. Right. And we'll have them try to make contact with spirits because, you know, they're the ones that are being haunted and hear things all the time. So the client came in.
Yes. Somebody fell down?
Yeah. That was not an EVP. There's a very logical explanation for that.
I haven't had my coffee. I fell off the chair. So,
we were at a private residence. And, you know, like I said before, I've seen things and I've heard a lot of things. I'm not psychic by any means. I can't make it happen at all. But, I mean, I've just seen full operations and apparitions and I've heard, you know, people speak. And in this one case, I heard a name. I heard the name Mark really clearly. And I was actually brand new with the group. It was only like my second investigation. And there's actually a guy on our team named Mark. And, you know, so I didn't react for a second. I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, why is he talking? Like, the client's kind of like, you know, doing EVPs right now. And, right. Yeah, so then it was bothering me because then I realized I'm like, wait a second. Mark isn't like, he's on the team, but he's not an investigator. He does behind the scenes stuff. So, you know, I turned around and we have video. I didn't catch anything, but I am often the one that does the handheld camera on investigations. And I turned around because I heard the name Mark right behind me. And I turned around and nothing was there. And I wish we caught it on evidence, but we didn't. But that was just really cool. And it was one of those experiences, like a lot I've had. I know I heard it because I didn't even think it was paranormal. You know, it was just as loud as we're all talking right now. So right. That was really neat. And then on that same investigation, we caught a really, really weird figure. It's not even like a human shape. It was just like a shadow. You know, and we have video of this. It's actually blocking one of the investigators. And I was holding the camera, but at the time, I didn't see anything weird in the camera. So I'm just kind of panning back and forth. And every time I get back to this investigator, the shadow is like getting darker and darker over him. And it actually disappears in a way that I really can't even explain. Almost like if an umbrella is open and then you close it, the way it folds like that.
Okay.
It really looked like that. I mean, it almost looked like an umbrella closing and disappearing. And that's just really weird. Yeah, like.
I think we have a bunch of stories. I have another one where the first time I've ever seen a full body apparition. This was when I first got divorced. I hooked up with a local team, and we went to do a pre-interview or pre-investigation interview, and right. I'm sitting at the kitchen table and I kind of got the feeling like they just wanted us there, and I'm sure you've come across this, Chad, too, where they just want to meet some investigators and talk about it, and maybe join the team. And I was getting that feeling as I'm sitting there, and I know the listeners can't see this, but I'm like pointing how I was sitting on one end of the table, and the father was on the other end of the table, and behind him was his bedroom, and they had a movie on. But it was on the beginning of the movie where it says play, scene selections, and it kept looping. So it was playing like some weird music. So I look up and I'm writing stuff down and I'm looking up and he said he was talking about eating a sandwich one night and yada, yada, yada. And I look up and I see an old lady standing in his room and she's like has her hand reached out towards me. And then she brings her hand in and poof, just like Kelly said, just kind of disappears. Wow. And I looked back down, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. He said, "You saw her, didn't you?" And I said, "I don't know what I just saw. I don't know what I just saw." But we ended up not doing the investigation. I think Kelly said she had come across this too. We had gone back to do the investigation, and they moved out. So, but it was. It turns out I described the lady to the neighbor who I saw. And it was a schizophrenic lady that had passed away, and they hadn't found her for 2 months inside the apartment. So.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've seen and heard it all. I'm pretty sure, except I haven't been scratched.
Yeah.
But nor do I want to, if anybody's listening.
Right, that wasn't an invite.
Well, I've been scratched and a bunch of other stuff. The only thing that you have over me is I still have not gotten a full-bodied human apparition. Now I've got several animal apparitions, but I haven't got a human apparition yet.
Yeah.
I wish I would see it more on investigations, you know, just because I've seen it a lot in my life. You know, I think that's, I don't think I know. That's one of the reasons why when I first was joining the group, you know, he thought that was something I could bring to the table. Like, cool, you often see, you know, like what John described, like you actually see a person and,
right,
you know, or you'll hear a voice like the story I just told. But, you know, it doesn't happen as much on investigations. And
yeah.
I just really,
you would think it would, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Like that could be like my thing.
No, I've been doing this for 10 years now and I still haven't gotten one yet, but I'm determined to see one before I'm done.
Yeah. But you have me like working late at work and then all of a sudden that's when I'll see something like, oh, great. Like when I'm here alone.
Now, what historical place or person would you guys love to investigate or talk to?
Ooh. Boy, that's good. That's a good one. You know, I haven't really thought of that. I guess the only place
that's what I like to do, I like to stump my guests. Well,
I'm not
you do
so
it
much,
well.
I'm not so much stumped, but here I go. I don't know if it's a person, but on my bucket list are two places. One is Gettysburg. I'm dying to get down to Gettysburg.
Yeah, we almost did this summer. Just it didn't work out with our schedules and all that.
Yeah, and then I think every paranormal investigator has thought about Bobby Mackey's. So that's another one that I would love to just go and just spend the night in there, even though I'm not involved in it. But I don't know if there's a historical figure.
Okay.
You know, I think all my idols are still alive. Let me see, Joe Montana,
Terry Bradshaw. Oh no, that's me.
Oh yeah, that's you. Yeah.
So what about you, Kelly?
Oh gosh,
I don't know that place.
Yeah, right. Very remote location. Oh my God, how do I not have an answer for this?
Probably. Hey, have you been out to any of those places, Chad?
I've been to Gettysburg several times. In fact, I actually grew up 30 minutes away from Gettysburg.
Wow.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, so I used to go there when I was a kid all the time. And
I'm assuming you got a lot of evidence from there.
Well, when I was a kid, I wasn't into paranormal at that time. But yeah. 2 years ago when I took my wife back, we got some good evidence.
Oh, just so jealous.
Yeah, there's like the Tilly Paris house.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I live out here in California, and we're trying to work, one of our bucket lists is we're trying to get into Alcatraz.
Oh, if you get there, call me, please.
I surely will.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
Steal that answer. Steal that.
Yeah, that would be another one. I just was trying to think of something that's within driving distance.
I mean, it's like kind of cliche, but like, I mean, Eastern State Penitentiary, like,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I'd love to get in there myself.
Yeah.
Even, you know, there's one, they just did, was it Ghost Hunters was just there? Even though I don't really care for these shows that I'm mentioning them anyway, I watch them.
Right.
The Haunted Mansion, they were just there the other night. Yeah, that's another one, North Adams, I think it is, Mass. So that's within driving distance. But, you know, they do tours in there, and then you can pay for the tour, and you pay $1,000, and you walk with a group of 50 people. I heard footsteps. Well, yeah, of course you did. There was 50 people with you.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
What's that island in Italy? The Pavelia?
Island?
I would love to go there. That would be sick.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to go there too. Well, guys, we only have a couple minutes left.
Okay.
So what advice would you give to new people or anybody interested in getting into the paranormal field?
You know, like we said before, I think the only advice I have, Chad, would be to just do it for the right reasons. You know, because I think if you go into a client's house and they're looking for somebody with a little bit of knowledge to help them out because their family is terrified, don't go in there just for the evidence. Go in there, you know, to help them. And if you don't know what you're doing, then pass it on to somebody else.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I would say, you know, look into different groups because it is hard. So many people do want to do it, but there are groups out there, and we've talked to them that are like, hey, we're always taking, I don't want to say applications, but, you know, we're always accepting emails from people interested. Learn as much as you can on your own. And I would say, you know, go in being skeptical because the things that I I'm skeptical now. A lot of those are the same things that, you know, when I was younger, and I'm not even trying to blame childhood, but, you know, just being scared, going, right. Oh my God, that's a ghost. You know, just as fun as it is and as bad as you want to catch that, just be rational.
Or don't be so desperate to see something because it's not going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, real quick, where can they find your show if my listeners want to find you guys' show?
We're on iTunes. Right now, you just have to search Dead Tribe Paranormal on iTunes. And we're on Stitcher, or you can go to echopodmedia.com and click on the podcast tab.
Also, Chad, check us out on Instagram, too, the Dead Tribe Podcast. And on Facebook, Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast.
Yeah, and if you listen on iTunes and you would love to review us or rate us, we just got on like days ago, so that would be great.
Give us a review.
All right. Sounds good. All right, everybody, that's all I have this week. I want to thank my guests, Kelly, Dan, and John, for being on the show. And maybe we can get you guys on again another time.
Wonderful. Sounds good. Thank you, Chad.
Thanks.
All right. So, everybody, be safe this weekend. If you're going out doing investigation, definitely be safe. You know, watch what you're doing. And everybody, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. After you're done, please listen to our other podcast, Rock Stories. In this series, we meet with music artists and bands that are out there keeping the scene alive. We capture and share their stories with you, the fans, and use their music as a soundtrack. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, the show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage.
Hello world, you're listening to Echo Pod Media.